Welcome here. I wanted to start out by asking you a question. I want to know if you would be surprised to know that after all this upheaval that we've seen throughout our country since Donald Trump took over, and all the burning of businesses and the destruction of relationships and friendships and families and all this stuff because you support one side versus the other. When it comes to things like DEI, which in many circles, I understand, has been a topic of very, very sensitive conversation. If I were to tell you that our illustrious ex-president, Joe Biden, started to cut DEI out of things like the Department of Defense before he left office, would that change the narrative for some of these people, do you think? Well, today we're going to discuss it. I found a little information, a little article that kind of lays it out for us. It came out on Thursday. So we're going to go over that today, discuss a little bit of DEI madness in our government. So stick with us. Don't go away. We start now. Hey, everybody, and welcome here to the next installment of the Richard Leonard Show. I'd like to thank you for joining us. If you are a returning viewer, thank you for coming back. We really all of us here, we really appreciate it. If you're new here, thanks for checking us out. We hope that you come back. Before we get started, as usual, I know that you won't mind me telling you about how the show is made possible. That is Cortez Wealth Management. Get yourselves on over to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Check out the webinar. They offer a free webinar. It happens on Tuesday and Thursday evenings every week, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday and Thursday evenings. Get the go through the webinar, get all the information. Carlos Cortez and his staff want to help you plan and execute a tax-free retirement plan. Gather it all, collect it up, process. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, when you're interested in starting this plan, this process for you to enjoy the fruits of your labor in retirement and with as little as tax, little tax liability as possible, if any, then give them a call. Get it started. You deserve it to do it for yourself. So, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Get on over there. Check them out. Okay, DEI in the military. So, I think that if we all were to just take a second and ponder what you thought or how you felt when President Trump came out and said, "We're done with this woke stuff. We're done with DEI for sure." And then he gave members of his cabinet, more specifically for this conversation, Pete Hegseth, our new Secretary of Defense, gave him the guidance: get rid of DEI. Get rid of DEI in our military. Get rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion in our military. And people went ballistic. And it seemed to me that it was more people that aren't in any way, shape, or form maybe connected to the military. They may not know somebody. They may have never served. I think that the percentage of individuals who were pissed off about getting rid of DEI in the military that have served, I think it was probably pretty low numbers. Because at the core, it's no secret that, and we've talked about it before here, of course, but it's no secret that the United States military, within the United States, which we call the biggest melting pot in the world, but within our country, within our government, within our communities or neighborhoods, whatever you want to call it, the United States military is probably the most saturated melting pot of any other organization or organizations in this country. And Maybe that sounds like I'm trying to make a case for DEI, but really what I'm trying to say is that for many, many years, decades, we didn't have any kind of DEI. And there's many people that will claim that they didn't get ahead and they didn't get the treatment they deserved because of their belief system or the color of their skin. And of course, I'm not one that's ignorant enough to say, no, that's never happened. Because I'm sure that it has. And if you're one of those people, well, I apologize that that was your experience. I hope that the leadership that perpetrated those ideals onto you were called out and dealt with the way that they should have been dealt with, whatever that means. But for the vast majority of the time, it would seem to me that we've had a lot of diversity in the United States military. And so if there's this idea that we're going to get rid of these policies and we're going to get rid of these directives and we're going to change these hiring practices and we're going to get rid of this preferential treatment due to your color, your race, your ethnicity, your sexual orientation, whether or not you hate your penis and want to chop it off, or if you want to add one, whatever the case may be, I guess I don't understand why people who understand the military structure, the military community, why they would be so thrown back by this idea that our military is not going to practice these policies anymore. And more importantly, and probably more confusing to me, is that anybody would have this idea that we need to put people in positions of power or positions of authority or leadership or whatever we want to call it, whatever we want to label it, based on anything other than their ability to be effective at the job in which they're performing while wearing that uniform. I mean, if we're talking about the safety and the security of this country, the people that reside here, the ones that get up and go to work every day, they're just trying to make a life for themselves. And even the ones that don't. Even the Americans who perpetrate others and end up in prison for the rest of their lives. Why any of these people who are in any of these situations would want anybody other than the best qualified individual in the pool to be in that spot? Because these are also the same folks, people, that didn't come out right. These are also the same people that will say, we don't want to send our sons and daughters off to war to die for nothing. And then when they hear this little, oh, well, you know, the mission is going to be, it's not going to be that bad. It's not going to be that bad. The mission is this, this, and this. The threat level might be this, this, or this. As much information as can be told to somebody who doesn't have the clearance to know it, you would think that they want whoever the best person is to lead your troops. If you are sending your son or daughter into harm's way because they've chosen to join the military, don't you want their leadership to be the best person possible for the job? Even if they're pink or purple Even they got green skin. The ones that are making the decisions about where your son or daughter or your brother or sister, or your mom or dad, aunt or uncle, whoever, put in important person here. Whoever's making the decision for your important person to follow their orders, don't you want them to be the best person possible? I have a hard time understanding how anywhere in business, in our government, anywhere, how we don't take the best person possible for the job. If I'm a business owner and I get three applicants and two of them are white dudes and one of them's a Mexican dude or an Asian dude or a black dude or a Egyptian dude or whatever, if this person is not the best qualified for the job, well, I'm sorry. But I'm going to pick the best qualified person to help my business thrive. And so now here we're talking on a grander scale, a bigger, a much larger scale. We're talking about the life and death of American people. We're talking about safety and security, this proverbial blanket of freedom that gets talked about often. We're talking about that, and it affects everybody. If this country is in danger of attack, if it's in danger of infiltration, if it's in danger of anything, don't you want the people who are going to stand up and run towards the danger to fight with everything they have, with their whole lives? Don't you want that person? Yeah, soldiers die. People die. But in this conversation, the men and women that get up and run to the gunfire or run to the danger to protect the masses, they die. Not all of them, clearly, but all of them could. And so, if you can construct a team of soldiers that all have their strengths and weaknesses, and you construct this really good team of I don't know, 4, 6, 8, 12, 26 guys, gals, soldiers, and they can do an amazing job. And let's just say, for conversation's sake, that this group of soldiers that do an amazing job, they always work in the dark of night. Nobody ever sees them except their shadows working in the night. How are you going to pick out which one, where's the black guy? Where's the Mexican lady? Where's the white dudes? Where's the Asian guys? Who's who? Does it matter? And so now there's this uproar. There's all these conversations going on all over the place about how racist Donald Trump is and what a piece of shit Pete Hegseth is because he's following the orders of the commander in chief. But nobody ever talks about the deeper thing here. The article, the news, just talks about the DEI jobs being axed. and these contracts being canceled or not renewed because they were up at the end of 24. Or people being repurposed or reassigned. Hey, you get to keep your job. You're just not going to perform DEI tasks every day anymore. You're not going to sit with hiring managers and give them instruction on which minority they should hire first. That's all done for now. Who knows what the next, 4 years from now brings. But right now, it's done. And so now we find ourselves in all of this upheaval. And the DEI thing isn't the only reason, of course. I mean, there's a lot going on within the borders of this country. A lot going on outside the borders of this country also, but this was a huge problem for people. And meanwhile, it seems military recruitment numbers are pretty good, they say. I don't think that they've, up to this point, have released any numbers for the new fiscal year that started October of 24. But I'm thinking that we're going to see quite an increase. We've certainly seen a change. We've seen a change in the recruiting commercials, the materials they put out. I gotta admit, my wife and I were watching our stories the other night, and an Army, U.S. Army recruiting commercial came on, and it was over, and we looked at each other, and I was like, "Yep," I said, "Yep, that there is a good recruiting commercial, good material." Apparently now at the U.S. Army basic training graduation, all the soldiers, they get in the field and they stand at attention. And this new tradition, and it's new to me because they didn't do it when I went through basic training back in the early 2000s. But they have to stand there and they can't move until somebody in their family touches them or whoever's there to visit them touches their shoulder or puts their patch on their sleeve or whatever the case may be. And so they were showing this montage of parents and siblings, kids, talking to their soldiers who are graduating basic training. And these men and women are just stone-faced, staring forward at the position of attention like they were trained. And they're listening to their parents tell them how proud they are. They're listening to their kids look and talk to them like they're heroes or whatever those conversations are. I don't know, maybe dad was telling the boy he's a dipshit, but whatever it is, they got fancy music and they show soldiers with tears running down their faces because they're proud of themselves. They're there to do their patriotic duty. They've been called this call to service. They've answered it. And then they get touched by their family members and they hug and parents are crying and this and that. It was a really good recruiting commercial because that's real. That shit actually happens. Parents do that. Soldiers do stand there and they feel proud. Sometimes you feel so damn proud that it does bring you to tears because they've just been through something that many of them never thought in a million years they'd ever be able to accomplish. And here they are. They did it. They made it through. That rite of passage that we call basic training, they finished it. They're now United States Army soldiers. And it seems now, at this current juncture, that means something. That means something again. And so to be honest, that's the first recruiting video I had seen, I believe, since Donald Trump was inaugurated. But it was a good one. And so we both looked at each other, and she kind of smirked, and I smirked and said, "That's it." We did a show on this. We did a show on this whole topic a couple of years back, a few years back. Maybe it was 2 years ago now, or a year and a half or something, about exactly recruiting efforts. We went from transgender officers being put on the cover of newspapers and magazines for their courage, to come out and talk about their transition and why they did it while they're still serving in the military, and how this current, not this current administration, but the last current administration had given them the confidence and the power to not be afraid anymore. Yeah, okay, great. The point is that this is not a place for that. You wanna transition? Cool. Can't do it in the military. That's not what we do here. So, they're doing away with it. And clearly it's worked for decades. I mean, the United States of America, if I'm not mistaken, is undefeated World War champions. Right? Like, we could probably point at the scoreboard in this instance. We won both of them. If for whatever reason there ever happens to be a third, if things keep going the way they're going, and the people in this country start loving it again, like we used to before, we got three-peat written all over us. I don't doubt it at all. But we have to get over this point of where we're arguing about why we're cutting these out, or why we should have added them versus cut them out, and how this is just so unfair. Do you leave the security of your children to just anybody? Just anybody that seems to be a little off? Would you leave your children with a 45-year-old man that has now decided he wants to become a woman? And when he makes his transition, he never even looks like a woman? Would you leave your kids at that daycare? Some people might. Would you trust the surgeon who came in with purple hair, who was a woman and decided to call himself Hank instead of Holly, and now has dyed her hair purple and cut it short and has tattooed on a beard? I mean, sometimes they look like they're tattooing them on, or I don't even know. I don't know what the hell's going on. Would you let that person operate on you? Or do you want the person who's best for the job? I mean, I don't know that we gotta beat this thing, but here we are, like 89 or 90 days in to this administration. And these types of things came out on day like 3, if not day 1 or 2. I think it was day 1, right? He went in after the inauguration and went live on every news platform and signed a huge stack of executive orders. He did that day 1. And I believe DEI initiatives and woke behavior and blah, blah, blah. I think all that was part of day one, one of the day one executive orders. It's been about 90 days. And we're still talking about this in the news. But until now, nobody ever really talked about the idea or the fact that President Biden started cutting DEI initiatives in early 2024. So is Trump really the radical, racist, sexist, tranny-hating son of a bitch that everyone makes him out to be? He took it another step further. President Biden let a few people go, restructured some jobs, didn't quite close down DEI offices and initiatives, but really scaled back to the tune of about 200 people that were laid off or reassigned. And things got a little crazy, right? Like the DOD took down Jackie Robinson, the Tuskegee Airmen, from their history page on the website, and this and that and the other thing. But it all got straightened out. But nobody hates Jackie Robinson. Nobody thinks that the Tuskegee Airmen aren't worthy of being recognized for their sacrifices and what they've done for this country and how great their service was. Nobody's questioning that. That wasn't the intent. But that's what they'll push. That's what they'll push on us. But it's so stupid. It's so dumb. And then people fall for this shit. And there's uproars in the media, and people are getting and protesting and getting violent over all this stuff. But if you take a step back and you just take a look. Like it's been happening for a little while. We're on the second year now of cutting DEI out of the military and the Defense Department. And to the best of my knowledge, things are running pretty smoothly. Yeah, there's some learning curve, I'm sure. Some reassignment. You got to learn a few different techniques. Some TTPs need to be updated. But in the grand scheme of things, it seems like our Defense Department is running pretty well. We haven't been attacked. We haven't lost a bunch of soldiers. We haven't. I mean, there's no. Maybe there's threats all over the place, and we're not told. But at the end of the day, this is like 400, 300 jobs that they're going to take out of the Defense Department. Are we really going to be that upset about it that we need to riot and protest? I don't know that we do. But let's take a break. When we come back after the break, I want to dig into some of the numbers because I just spent, 27 minutes ranting about this whole thing, and we never even got to the article that I wanted to pull information from. So we'll go over some of the numbers because I think that you'll see how minuscule that this whole thing might be, and that this outrage that we've had and are continuing to have, although dialed down a little bit, is just completely unnecessary. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, real quick before we get back to the show. It's no secret that we have been experiencing a loss of sponsorships. Sponsors have been leaving the network, or the network leaving sponsors due to our convictions. And so we have recently began to ask you, the viewer, for help. We need your help. You are the most important thing when it comes to this network. You are the lifeblood of the Stu Peters Network. And so we are asking for your help once again. And in doing so, the way that you can help is to go down below on this video. Right here, you'll see the red button that's titled Stu Crew. You see it blinking there. You can click on there and it'll take you to the Stu Peters Network Locals page. You can sign up for a membership. It is $90 for 1 year or $9 a month. If you do the $90, you'll get 2 months for free. Also, when you go to checkout, if you use keyword Stu Crew 1, you'll get the first month for $1. So these things are extremely important. Keeping the network funded and bringing you content and information that you're not going to find on the mainstream media, the truth bombs that you're not going to get from the mainstream media. This is where you get them. The new age of information is not the mainstream media. It is platforms like this one. And we bend over backwards and break our backs to try to find you the content and the topics that are going to really affect you. So for $9 a month, you can join the Stu Crew, get exclusive access to behind the scenes footage, all kinds of extra content that'll be available to you. Also monthly giveaways. This month, Curable, which is a local CBD company, has a huge basket of body creams and lotions and bath bombs and Epsom salts and booty scrub. Not quite sure what that is, but it sounds interesting. They are going to give this basket away to one Stu Crew member. So if you join the Stu Crew, or if you are a person that just wants to give a one-time donation, that's great. We will accept that too. And you will also be entered into a drawing. So get on over to the Stu Peters Locals page. You can also go to StuPeters.com and sign up there as well. But it is easier to just go down and hit the red button there that says Stu Crew and sign up that way. Again, it's $9 a month or $90 a year. You get two months for free. And when you check out, if you use Stu Crew 1 as a keyword, you should get 1 month for free. We really do appreciate your support. And as I said, you are the lifeblood of this network. We can't do this work without you. We can't continue to bring you all of this amazing content without your support. So thank you once again for being here. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting us. We really do appreciate it. We really do love you. Thank you. All right, folks, welcome back here. I just wanted to go through some statistics. There was an article posted on Thursday on Military Times talking about this whole topic. And they went through to talk about some of the purging that went on in 2024. And it's funny because you would think out of the Department of Defense as a whole, if we have these DEI initiatives and all these people that are working on it, that would be more than a few hundred people agency wide. I mean, it's not just in the Pentagon, but there's DOD offices in other places and there's people everywhere. And, but they also control all branches of the military. So they have people in different roles in different places at bases and other strategic locations and things like that in order to make sure that these polities of diversity and equity and inclusion are followed. And they talked about in here that they were followed strictly, they're very stringent on how closely to the chest they followed these orders for DEI. And so let's read through it, but it makes me wonder who's really was asking for all of this and who was really in control of telling and crafting what these initiatives were. And some people claim that they know exactly who it was. I'm not going to claim I do because I think it's all bullshit. And it doesn't really matter who the orchestrator of it all was. I mean, one would say it was President Biden, of course, because he was the one that put out the orders to scale back. But he also was the one who put out the orders to ramp it up. But I have this feeling that in early 24, you know, the election talks were happening, and there was traveling and rallies and this and that and the other thing. Maybe, just maybe, Biden's whole entourage started to notice, well, maybe Americans really aren't okay with hearing about how we, the taxpayers, are paying to chop off wieners of service members that decided they don't want them. When there's all kinds of travesties happening all over the world, it seemed as if we were being infiltrated, which I think we 1,000% were being infiltrated, and maybe still are in certain areas. Why are we focused on making sure that we got the right color people in the right positions when all this other stuff is going on? And our military are the ones that people look to for comfort and security. They look for comfort within their security from our military force. Anyway, I could go on about it. But according to the GAO, these DEI cuts and DEI-related jobs occurred in two ways. The first was in 2024 as part of a provision included in the year in 2024's National Defense Authorization Act. And then this year, in 25, as a result of Trump's administration's crackdown on DEI in the military. GAO, the Government Accountability Office, found that the NDAA-driven cuts in 24 resulted in 32, a whopping 32, completely eliminated jobs. 32. With another 115 positions being restructured to reduce or eliminate their DEI-driven duties. Those findings were reported to the House Armed Services Committee staff during a briefing in late January. So when they started this purge of DEI shit from DOD, they cut 32 jobs. Just laid off those people. Sorry. We gotta get rid of this. America's watching. We gotta do something. And another 115 positions being restructured just to reduce their DEI duties, which tells me that DEI duties was something like in the military we have other duties as assigned, right? So my job was an infantryman. I was an infantryman. But when a tent needs to be put up or a generator needs gas or a vehicle needs gas or somebody needs ammo or whatever, there's other duties as assigned. Hey, Sergeant Leonard, can you go and fuel up the generator? Well, yeah, but it's not an infantryman's job. That's probably a fueler's job. Yeah, well, other duties as assigned. Please, can you just... Yeah, okay, no problem. So you go out, you grab a gas can, you fill the son of a bitch up, and you get back to work. That is probably what was going on here. You had 115 people that were going to work every day, and their full-time job was to do accounting, inventory management, S3 operations, who knows what. But also, other duties as assigned. Hey, you're going to be this office's diversity person. And so what happens with these other duties, the other thing that happens in the military is there's other duties such as the EO officer, the equal opportunity person, which is the person who gets all the complaints about sexual harassment and hazing, or I'm getting picked on, that type of thing. That's a duty as assigned. Sharp. A sharp representative. Every unit has a sharp representative. Those are sexual assault people. If you've been sexually assaulted, this is the person you go to report it and start the process to get the whole thing handled. And hopefully, whoever perpetrated you gets their ass handed to them and then kicked out. Get the hell out of here. Those are other duties as assigned. Resiliency. United States Army, when I was in, had resiliency trainers. So you get to train the unit, your the people you work with, your fellow soldiers. You get to train them on different topics about resiliency, which was actually an interesting course. I went to the resilience trainer assistance course. So I wasn't a master trainer, but I was a assistant. So, you know. But that one in particular was a good course I went to. And you just learn a lot of things about life, and how to think differently and look at situations differently, and then how to act accordingly. Because a lot of things that happen to people, especially soldiers, if you react or you fester on them in the wrong way, it leads to poor job performance. It leads to not good things. I believe it was a good way to try to help talk to soldiers about if you're feeling suicidal, or if you're feeling depressed, or if you're feeling this, that, or the other thing, overwhelmed. Here's some techniques to deal with it. And then here's some people to talk to. And I think that it helped a lot of people. I think that a lot of soldiers will also tell you that resiliency training was stupid. It was a waste of time. I don't need this. I don't need that. But I think that a lot of that is pride. A lot of that is we're big, bad military men and women. So we're not going to buy into this. And for some, maybe that's true, but I think a lot of people kind of, if you stop and think about it, some of these things you can apply to your life, and they're helpful. But all of these other duties as assigned, all have training that's required. 40 hours of training, 20 hours of training. And so you're kind of doubling up people's workloads. But some of these things are necessary. I feel things like resiliency is good. I think that having a representative in every unit that is trained to help people through sexual assault, have in the case that they have been perpetrated on, I believe that that's important. There's nothing that is more upsetting to me anyway about the way that soldiers treat each other than knowing that there are people out there that will take full advantage of their brothers and sisters, the people that you are supposed to fight with, the people that you are supposed to be family with. So I think that those people are important. But remember, all of this takes extra time. It takes extra money. And to have programs like DEI trainings, I think is a massive, huge waste of taxpayer dollars and people's time. Because as we discussed at the beginning of the show, none of that stuff really should apply to military personnel. And so the argument that you get from people is, well, don't you think that it's a bad look if a army or a marine unit, for example, comes marching out on a field and they're all gussied up in their dress uniforms and they're doing their parade march It's all white guys. Doesn't that strike you as unfair? And my answer to that is, well, no. No, it doesn't strike me as unfair. It's not unfair if every person on that field was the best qualified to be there. And you never know. You never know what that group of guys, what that unit looked like before that day. Maybe they started with a bunch of people of color. Maybe they dropped out. I guarantee you they lost a lot of white guys too. You see, things like instinct and things like physical ability, things like marksmanship, things like the ability to work as a team and to carry your own weight, and the ability to absolutely decimate an enemy with every tool of war ever made available to you, doesn't see color. When these soldiers are on the battlefield and bullets are flying and people are dying, nobody gives a shit what color your skin is. Nobody cares who you like to lay next to at night. Nobody even gives a shit what you like to eat. Nobody cares about any of that. The only thing the other people around you wearing the same clothes as you care about is that you have the ability to do your job and do it at least effectively enough that the people on the left and right of you are comfortable turning their back to pick up their sector of fire, that they trust you to do your job and do it correctly. No matter what your skin color is, no matter what you believe, no matter where your family's from, no matter what you think, if you're gonna put on the pajamas, if you're gonna wear the clothes, and you're gonna put U.S. Army or Navy or Marine Corps or Air Force or Space Force or even Coast Guard across your heart, you better just be ready to do your goddamn job. Not worry about anything, any of those things that have to do with ethnicity and color or gender or any of that bullshit of the person next to you. But for some reason, the people on high in the ivory towers, they just can't grasp that for some reason. Because we continue to have the same conversations over and over and over again. And sometimes I ask myself, well, what is it going to take? What is it going to take for people in this country to just understand that if we need to fight, if we need to defend, we just need people who are able. When is it for these people that color and race and ethnicity and gender and sexual orientation, what is it going to take for these people to not worry about that anymore? I mean, we did the whole don't ask, don't tell. We got rid of that. Rumor has it, sometimes you hear people say, well, they're going to bring that back. Okay, well, so what? So what? We did the women in combat. The United States military opened up combat roles for everybody. If you don't know, it wasn't all that long ago that women weren't allowed in combat jobs. They weren't allowed to be infantrymen. They weren't allowed to be field artillery. They weren't allowed to be scouts, Cav scouts. They weren't allowed to be fisters. They weren't allowed to be forward observers, is what a fister is. They weren't allowed to do that. But now they've opened all that up. And the only argument that you got from soldiers was, if anybody can meet the same standard that everyone else has to meet, then bring it on. No problem. And so, as a nation, we went through that. We did all that. We made it available. And the amount of women that have chosen to join combat MOSs, combat roles, to the best of my understanding, is quite minute. It's quite small. For whatever reason. Some will say it's because they just can't do it. Some will say they don't have the emotional capacity to fight in combat. Some will say women probably just don't want to do those jobs. So I guess I don't know what the answer is. I don't know why the numbers are so low. But the proof is in the pudding, right? Like, we've done this. It's just another example of, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. Our military was pretty goddamn strong when we had Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Our military was pretty damn strong when women weren't allowed in combat roles. And I don't know if the question should be, well, don't you agree that they should be allowed? I think the question should be, who's the best person for the job? If it's a lady, cool. All right. Well, no problem. I don't have a problem with that. But if we're going to shove people into these places just because they are a lady and they say, yeah, well, no problem, I'll join the infantry. Yeah, cool. That's, I can get in and do that. Okay, yeah, no problem. But then when they find out they have to meet the same standard, they got to do the same thing that everyone else does. Just like any man going into the infantry, you got to meet the standards. Just like everybody else. But the difference is this, folks. Whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't dictate the weight of weapons. It doesn't dictate the weight of water and ammunition. It doesn't dictate how violent some of these weapon systems are when they're firing, when they're in use. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen within an infantry mission that require brute strength. And I'm not here to say that women don't have brute strength, but I don't know if there's a whole lot of women that are carrying a 40-pound rucksack and a 240 Bravo machine gun with 400 to 800 rounds of ammunition, and then water so that you don't die, and something to eat maybe when you have short stops, short halts. I mean, that's a hell of a hike for anybody. Because that son of a bitch is heavy. I'll tell you that. I carried it. I know that son of a bitch is heavy. And so we can't just say, well, okay, well, if it's that heavy, then we just won't have a lady carry that. We won't have a lady operate that weapon system. Well, bullshit, you won't. If I'm carrying it and I lay down suppressive fire, I get on the ground, I set up my bipod, I lock and load my weapon system, and I start suppressing the enemy so that our other elements can move, or I got a clear line of sight, or whatever the case may be, and I get shot Well, now what? What if the person next to me is a woman? And she's got to roll over, shove my fat ass out of the way, get behind that weapon system and keep shooting because it is our largest casualty producing weapon. And so if that thing is down and we got 20 soldiers flanking on the left flank or whatever, that suppressive fire is pretty important. Because that sumbitch, that 240 Bravo, it's the machine gun that replaced the M60, if you're not aware. That thing can do some damage. And when you start shooting it at people, they certainly run or duck or die. If you're good enough to hit them. But as long as you get in the area and those bullets start slapping on a hard surface, people are going to duck. They're going to die. They're going to run. So, I mean, again, not saying that nobody should be, there isn't any one person that shouldn't be there because of their age, sex, ethnicity, or whatever. But if you are not the best person for the job, I don't want you next to me. I don't want you fighting alongside of me. Because my family is depending on you just like I'm depending on you. My kids are depending on you just like I'm depending on you. And when I was in Iraq and my son was 2 years old, he didn't give a shit about the color of the person next to me or the gender. He wanted to just, well, he was two, but he wanted to just make sure that I was coming home. My parents, they didn't care who was next to me, as long as they could do the job. And so when we talk about the Pentagon taking away all these this diversity, equity, and inclusion bullshit, and folks are upset about it, maybe they should walk down to their nearest recruiting station and sign on the dotted line and go serve in a forward area. And then when you are in the heat of combat, and things are burning and bullets are flying and there's just fucking chaos everywhere. Tell me if you care about the color of the person next to you. And if you go through all of that and you survive and you come home and you can say that you were still worried about the color or the gender or the cultural background of the person next to you, you're in the wrong place. The United States military isn't a place for you anyway. And that's okay because it's not for everybody. But I don't think that we should be allowing anybody to talk down on the job that our soldiers are doing. Without walking the walk. I don't think that it's fair to them. I don't think it's fair to the men and women who are serving. For a person who hasn't had the testicular or intestinal fortitude to put on a uniform and run towards the danger. Accept their fate and just immerse yourself in the chaos that is war, that is combat. So go. Go do it. Shit, just go play a war game. Go to JRTC or NTC. All these training centers that we got all over the country. Go to those. See if you can get through that first, maybe. Those suck too. Hot. The days are long. The food sucks. Sometimes you don't get it on time. The water's hot. You don't even get cold water to drink. It is a exercise on your ability to compartmentalize your emotions and do your job and focus. Because there's a lot of things that make you want to just throw in the towel at some of these training facilities, some of these training war games and all these other things that the military does. So for anybody who has the balls to persecute President Trump, Pete Hegseth, or anybody else who doesn't agree that the best person possible for the job is not the person that we should have, if that is the way that you see it, it's not the place for you anyway. So maybe just get out of the way, sit down, shut the fuck up, and let the military do their job. Don't say nothing. Go push your wokeism and your DEI stuff somewhere else. I'm sure that there's still other places in government that you can get away with it before the reckoning comes. But if not, there is 10,000% some place that's not affiliated with the government where you can go and blissfully wallow in all the DEI bullshit you can handle. But not here in our military. It's not what we do. It's not who we are. It's not in our blood. It shouldn't be. If it's starting to get in there, it shouldn't be. That's just my two cents on the whole topic. We didn't get through all of the data that I wanted to outline, but I think that we got a good idea. I think that horse has been beaten. So, with that being said, have a good night. We'll see you next week.
As Christians in a Christian country, we have a right to be, at minimum, agnostic about the leadership being all Jewishly occupied.
We literally should be at war with fucking Israel 100 times over, and instead we're just sending them money, and it's fucking craziness.
Look at the state of Israel, look at the state of Tel Aviv, and look at the state of Philadelphia. You tell me where this money's going. You tell me who's benefiting from this.
I am prepared to die in the battle fighting this monstrosity that would wish to enslave me and my family and steal away any rights to my property and to take away my God, go fuck yourself. Will I submit to that?
And if you've got a foreign state, you've got dual citizens in your government, who do you think they're supporting?
God, right now, would you protect the nation of Israel and protect those of us, not just our church, but every church in the world and in this nation that's willing to put their neck on the line and say, we stand with them.
You go look at Trump's cabinet. You go look at Biden's cabinet. It's full of Jews.
Black friend in school. I have nothing against blacks. She has nothing against me. She understands where I'm coming from.
Excuse me, I'm a Jew, and I just like to say that, you know, in our Bible it says that you're like animals.
The Jews crucified our God.